first place. The thought of winning a race drives athletes to excel, to give their all, to cross the goal line first. Believers are to give God first place in their lives, running life's race for no other reason than to express their love for Him. In fact, we're commanded to love God supremely. Everything else is to take second place. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on the joy of generosity, and today, Dr. Lutzer continues probing our deepest motivations with a message on Christ, the Lord of our affections. Lessons taken from the words of Jesus in Matthew 22:37.
Jesus said not only that we should feel deeply, but He said you should love Him with all of your soul. As I thought about that, I was reminded that the soul, psychologically speaking, is usually thought of as the area of the will. So what Christ is saying is that we ought to love God by making choices in His favor. In your outline, you'll notice I say that we should choose decisively. Let me ask you something. How do we prove our love one for another? Is it not the willingness to make sacrifices one for another? You know, talk is cheap. We can all say that we love one another. We love this person or that person. But the real issue is, how do we react when we need to sacrifice in their behalf and make a tough choice in their favor? One day, God came to a man by the name of Abraham, and He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son to Mount Moriah. Abraham might have said, well, excuse me, Lord, but I've got two sons. The Lord says, no, I don't even regard Ishmael. I don't even count Ishmael. He said, I want your son, your only son, your precious son, Isaac. And then the Lord says, Abraham, I want you to take him to the top of Mount Moriah and offer him there for a sacrifice on one of the mountains that I will show you. I can't prove it from Scripture, but I don't think Abraham even told Sarah where he was going, because she may not have let him. But here he is. He takes Isaac, and they begin that 3-day journey to Mount Moriah, which very probably is the very place where the Dome of the Rock is built today in the city of Jerusalem, because David built the temple on Mount Moriah. But they come there and they trudge up that mountain together, and finally Abraham is willing to tie his boy to the altar and take a knife to his son. And you know the rest of the story. An angel of the Lord intervened. But here's the point. Was there any doubt in anybody's mind after that incident that Abraham loved God? Is there anybody who says, you know, I'm not sure whether Abraham really had God as first in his life or not? Of course, we would not even think of questioning Abraham's love. Because you see, what God wanted to do is to make sure that this precious son had not taken first place in Abraham's heart. So God says, Abraham, kill your boy. And he was willing to do it. I need to ask you a question today. Is there any person? Is there any relationship? Is there any circumstance or desire or ambition in your heart and mind that is more important to us than God? When all of the desires that we have scream yes, are we willing to say no to those things because first and foremost we value God? We value God. And we say, God, my relationship with you is so important. What you think is so important that I will choose for you no matter what. Because what is idolatry? Idolatry is nothing more than being unwilling to make a tough choice for God. Idolatry is saying no to God. It is saying there is something in my life that is more important than the will and the purpose of God, and I will hang on to that thing, and I will keep it, and I will not submit to the Almighty. That's idolatry. Now notice Jesus said, thirdly, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your mind, with all of your mind. May I remind you of something, namely that God has given us minds that we can think. And the grandest thoughts that we will ever have, the grandest thoughts that we should ever have, should be thoughts about God. As I say, I think about God's relationship to the world a great deal. And the more I know God, the more mystery I find. Maybe one of the reasons why God has allowed so much mystery to be in his person that he has not seen fit to reveal to us in the Bible, maybe one of the reasons is because he wants us to never run out of ideas thinking about him. I like what Jonathan Edwards says. Jonathan Edwards says that he believes that in heaven, that all of us are going to continue to expand our knowledge of God, and that throughout all of eternity, our ideas of God shall continue to be increased. I like that. All of eternity, we're going to know more about him. But we should get started on this side of eternity. And how do we do that? How do we use our minds for God? It is through meditation in his word, where he leads us into the very depths of the knowledge of him. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I praise thee and bless thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and declare thy mighty acts. And on the psalmist goes, extolling the wonder of God. Now I must ask you again, what is idolatry? Idolatry is when I reserve greater and more magnificent thoughts for other people, or for my career, or for a situation than I reserve for God. That's idolatry. To think small thoughts about God and big thoughts about ourselves or what we hope to accomplish in life is idolatry. We have allowed something else to capture our minds and our imagination other than Almighty God. And the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your mind. Finally, Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your strength. All of your strength. I'm astounded that Jesus adds that. Strength means that we are committing ourselves with blood, sweat, and tears toward a very specific goal. That's what it means to exert strength. And Jesus is saying that your strength shouldn't just be reserved for the normal things that we think takes energy, such as the pursuit of our work, our careers, the pressures of life. Jesus is saying you should take your strength and channel it very decisively into being sure that God is number one on your list of things and beings to pursue. Remember, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him out. Seek him out. I want you to know that you may not accomplish anything in this world that other people are going to recognize. But if you and I are willing to seek God out, we will have accomplished something that is very special and precious to his own heart. I have sometimes prayed, and I'm sure you have as well, oh God, I pray that I may know you as well as it is possible for a human being to know you on planet Earth. For that knowledge, I trust I would be willing to give anything up. I think of Augustine, who said, O God, thou hast said that we cannot see thee and live. O God, may I die that I might see thee. Augustine could not wait to get to heaven that he might know God better and that he might see him. Now let me ask you, what is idolatry? Idolatry is when I pursue something other than God with more strength and more energy and more determination than I pursue the knowledge of Almighty God. That's idolatry. Because I have set up some other standard, some other desire that is greater than my desire to know the living God. Let me ask you, what is your plan to know God better? How many biographies do you plan to read this year of men and women who have walked with God, who give us insight into what they've learned? How many verses do you plan to memorize? What is your plan in terms of reading the Bible? What are you doing so that this great gap that is within us, this great desire for God, is being fueled and is being fanned and is being nurtured and strengthened until you say that you are consumed with the desire to know the Almighty and nothing else really matters? Other things matter, but they don't really matter. That's why I found it so difficult to prepare this message. Because as I look at the text, I see that what Jesus is saying is that our love for God should be all-consuming. All-consuming. What would be true if we loved God with all of our heart and mind and soul? First of all, obviously, we would love what God loves, wouldn't we? He loves the people of the world. We would love people. He loves His Word. He says that He has magnified His Word, He says, even above His name. And we love His Word. We would love righteousness. We would love God's ways. And we would love God because, may I say it, God loves Himself. He does. He would not expect us to love Him if He did not love Himself. He has a right to. Because He is the source of all beauty, of all goodness, of all wonder, of all majesty. And therefore He invites us to come and to share in that love. And on our part, our worship. Well, my friend, whenever we talk about our relationship with God, there's so much territory to be talked about, isn't there? And as I was thinking about our love for God, which should be so all-encompassing. The reason is not only to bring glory to God, there's also another reason, and that is to satisfy our own souls. Remember, it was C.S. Lewis who said that God is the all-consuming, the all-satisfying object. If you want to have peace today, if you want to have rest today, if you want to find fulfillment today, pursue God. Tell Him that you want to love Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and He will set you on a journey that will bless Him and encourage you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is teaching on the joy of generosity, a look at the stewardship of time, talents, and resources. Today's lesson was the second on Christ, the Lord of our affections. Tomorrow, our series concludes. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This entire series on stewardship can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Finally, you can write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.